Very privileged tonight and excited to have with us Pastor Don Rayleigh, all the way from Ormond Beach. I almost said California, but it's Florida. And she and her husband, Jim Rayleigh, have been pastoring that church since 1997. And that's 22 years because that's when we started here. So congratulations to that. And so she and her husband have led that church just to great things. And she leads the women's ministry there, but also the prayer and the deliverance ministry there. And so we are so happy that she has flown up to Indiana tonight to be with us. Her church has First Wednesday, and so she left them to be with us. And so I just want you to give your best grace welcome to Don Rayleigh as she comes to share God's word tonight.
Hey, how about we give that hand to Jesus? He's the one who really deserves the praise. Come on, somebody, give that hand to Jesus tonight. We can do bigger than that. We can do louder than that. Come on, he's worthy of our praise. Has he done for you what he's done for me? I can't stop praising him. Lord, we thank you and we give you glory tonight. You're so good to us, God. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there. Thank you so much. It is just a privilege to be here tonight. I just decided to bring this 90-degree weather with me from Florida. I thought you would appreciate that. But I don't know. It seems like the summer doesn't want to end, doesn't it? It's been that way our way as well. But I just want to say thank you to Pastor Murray and to his precious wife, Miss Tracy, and just thank you for having me and believing in us. Like he said, my husband and I went to Ormond Beach 22 years ago. We've been married for 30 years, about to celebrate 31 this month. But just actually, thank you. It is a miracle these days, isn't it? But for 22 years, we were on the evangelistic field, and then we took Calvary Christian Center in Ormond Beach. And we have just seen the Lord do so much over those 22 years. And there is just a spirit of revival that continues to live in that house. And we just feel so, so blessed. So tonight at home, they're having their Revival Wednesday. My husband is leading that, and they're worshiping, and then there actually is a prayer service tonight. They're blessing families. Amen? So how many know our families need prayer? Yeah, our children need prayer. So that's what's happening right now at home, and so we just bless them. But I just want to thank you for coming out tonight on this Revival Wednesday. I love it. And I believe that the Lord has given me a word for you tonight. I really do. This is not something I've ever preached before, but I heard this in my spirit. I heard this. This is a test. This is only a test. That's what I heard in my spirit. This is a test. This is only a test. Did you hear that? I faintly heard it. But when I was growing up in the 70s, there was something developed called the emergency broadcast system. Does anybody remember the emergency broadcast system? We would be watching TV, and the loudest sound would interrupt your program. Now, as a kid, that would just upset you so much. You were watching Scooby-Doo. Come on. The Brady Bunch, whatever it was. And here would come the loudest sound. It would about make you panic and jump out of your chair or off the couch. And it would say, this is a test. This is only a test. If this would have been an actual emergency, you would have been instructed where to tune in your area for news and official information. Do you remember those days? It was activated, I read, more than 20,000 times, but never used for a national emergency. Thank God. But the Holy Spirit brought me here with a specific word for somebody. It may not be for anybody, but I know that it is for somebody because he spoke that in my spirit. This is a test. This is only a test. It's not time to panic. It's only a test. It's not time to give up. This is only a test. It's not over. It's only a test. It's not final. It's only a test. Woo. What you've been going through is not about to defeat you. This is only a test. I don't know if you feel it, but I got goosebumps from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I know this word is about to be released to somebody. I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to tell your neighbor, say, this is a test. This is only a test. Woo! All right. Are you guys ready to have church? We love to have church back in Florida now. I've come to have some people have church with me. Worship was incredible. Didn't you appreciate that worship team tonight? They led us into the presence of the Lord. You got a phenomenal worship leader and team. Amen. So we're ready. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to read verse 7 through 16. The Bible says this. It says, "And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. This was clearly a woman who loved God and served him despite her circumstances. So tonight, if you love him and you've made up in your mind to serve him, why don't you lift your hands and let's pray together over this word. Father God, we just give you praise tonight and we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is life to us. It is bread to us. I thank you tonight, God, that you are releasing revelation. You're releasing anointing. God, I pray you would anoint me to preach your word and anoint those to hear your word. We receive it tonight and apply it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So tucked right here in the middle of the book of 1 Kings, connected to a moment in the life of the famous prophet Elijah, we are made keenly aware of a widow woman. Simply stated, that's all it says. She's unnamed, she's destitute, she's alone, she's struggling to provide for her and her son. We don't know how long she's been a widow, but she must have been left without an insurance policy or a fine savings account because she is there gathering her own sticks. So that must tell you as well that she didn't have anybody around to help her. A famine has ravaged the land and the supply that she had been living on, and now she has reconciled to the fact that she has nothing left. But I've heard it said real often, when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. Whew, I'm going to say that again. When you're down to nothing, God is up to something. In this moment, God speaks to Elijah to go out of Israel's borders to the city of Sidon called Zarephath. There, he says, he has a widow to sustain him. Now, I want you to recognize the plight of this woman, but also where she's at in this moment. The Bible said she's in Zarephath. Somebody say Zarephath. She's in Zarephath. When you define what Zarephath means, it means to refine. It means to test. It means to test and prove true. So see this woman, her location in life is Zarephath. She's not experiencing blessing and abundance at this moment in her life. Maybe she did at one time when she was married, when her husband was alive. But in this moment that we see her in right here, she is dwelling in Zarephath. The place of refining and the place of testing and the place of proving. Now, if you've ever been in a place of testing, oh, come on, somebody, or in a time of refining, that's usually not your most happiest time in life. Can I get a witness? You see, isn't it the truth? The Zarephath, when you go through the Zarephath place, it is the hard time. It is very often a broken time. It is sometimes a desperate time. But one thing I know, the Zarephath will shine the light on the real you. Woo, come on. The Bible says that Zarephath means to prove true, to test and prove true. And I have found it in my own life, in my own Zarephath season, that when I go through those moments, the light will shine on the real me. Whew. My Zarephath seasons exposed me to me. Come on. And sometimes it wasn't what I really wanted to see. Come on. Or what I really wanted to admit to because it wasn't all good. Have you ever been there? Come on. Thank you, Jesus, for the Zarephath place, because it's there that he gets us real with ourselves. Have you ever been there? You see, this woman, she's looking at her circumstances in this place that she's in, and they are promising absolutely nothing. Whew. Have you ever been in a place where you look around and your situation is promising absolutely nothing? You look at your marriage, come on, and it's promising absolutely nothing. You're looking at your finances and they're promising absolutely nothing. You're looking at your future and it's promising absolutely nothing. This is where she's at. She's in that Zarephath place. She's lost so much. But watch this. We see in this story, when she had no one, God sent her someone. And God just didn't send her someone, but he sent her someone who would come into her life and change her perspective. Whew. My dear family, let me tell you, God knows right where you are. And right in the midst of your Zarephath, God will speak. And when God speaks, it's a destiny change. Oh, come on, somebody. Have you ever needed a word from the Lord? When God speaks, it's a supernatural shift. I believe God has brought me here tonight to bring you a word. Oh, hallelujah. Because it's time for a destiny change. Come on, somebody. It's time for a supernatural shift in your life. It's time for some things to break loose. Come on. It's time for some things to change in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And he simply asked her, as he saw her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? And by that simple question, she did not realize it in that moment. It did not look like it. It did not even feel like it. But in that moment, she was standing before an open door of change. Whew. I have three things to reveal to you tonight from this text. And then I believe God is going to open up and release a fresh anointing in this place. The first thing that I want to show you is this. God appoints and ordains times of testing. See, remember, the location is Zarephath, this place of refining, this place of testing. And when I looked up, I just Googled in the Webster Dictionary the definition of test. Listen to what it says. It says, a procedure intended to establish the quality, performance, or reliability of something, especially before it's taken into widespread use. And as I read that definition, the Holy Spirit said, somebody's been asking God to use them. Somebody's been asking God to use them. They've been desiring to be used by God like never before. They've been thirsty for Him. They've been desiring Him to take their life and use them. And it seems like all hell has broken loose against them. And the Lord said, tell them that this is not the enemy blocking you, but it is God getting you ready. Woo! Jesus, you want to give Him praise? Give Him praise tonight. Woo! He's making you uncomfortable where you're at because He's getting ready to take you to your next level. He's refining you so He can use you. Woo, I've come to destroy the lie of the enemy tonight. He's taking you to your next level. He's preparing you for your next season. You see, preparation is part of the process in our seasons of growth. God prepares us for the good works that He has planned for us. But He is master at preparing us to handle the hard places. Oh, those valleys. Come on, somebody. Am I telling the truth? We don't like to talk about the valleys. We want to preach this gospel that says everything's going to always be perfect and everything's going to always be glorious and you're not ever going to have to deal with a problem and you're never going to have spiritual warfare. Come on. We don't like to talk about the valleys, but it's the valleys that draw us close to Him. Woo! It's the valleys that open our ear to His voice. It's the valleys that move us to prayer. It's the valleys where we become desperate and we realize that we need the Lord, that we realize what really matters. Don't cancel out the valley. Don't underestimate the valley. Don't discount the valley, because it's often in the valley where we learn to surrender. It's often in the valley where our heart gets in the right position. Oh, am I talking to any real people tonight who have faced some real valleys in here? Do you know that I'm telling the truth? I'm stronger because of my valleys. Are you stronger because of the valleys that you've come through? Can you see it tonight? I'm stronger because of my valleys. The low times have made me more grateful. The low times have caused me to be more thankful. They've taken my praise to another level. I've got more faith today because of my problems yesterday. Come on. I didn't like the valleys, but it was my valleys that saved me, because it got me in pursuit of the Savior. Oh, come on, church. If you knew my story, you would know that I've got a lot to praise God for. If you knew what He picked me up out of, come on, somebody. If you knew what He delivered me from, oh, thank you, Jesus, you would understand my praise. Am I with anybody in this church tonight who knows where God has brought you from and you have got a reason to praise Him? Oh, come on. If you've come through some valleys, take 10 seconds and just give Him your best praise tonight. Give Him your best praise. Hallelujah. You shouldn't be here tonight, but you sit in this place because He brought you up and He brought you out and He brought you through. Come on, somebody, praise Him. There's breakthrough in your praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, God sent His servant Elijah in the middle of a famine to be sustained by a widow. Now, does that make sense? He sent him to a widow to sustain him. In those days, widows were underprivileged. They were those that were in need, not one who had excess to give. But she was in Zarephath. Whew. You see, we don't always understand God. Isaiah 55:9 says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, that's the problem with some people. They're trying to understand God. God's not looking for you to understand him. He's just looking for you to obey him. We can't understand his ways. They're higher than our ways. Most of the time, they don't make sense. Quit trying to understand God and just say, yes, Lord, yes. Whatever you told me to do, I'll do. Come on. Arise and go to Zarephath. I have commanded a widow there. Commanded is the Greek word sava, meaning to appoint, to ordain, to give charge to. So he was saying, I have appointed, I have ordained, I have given charge to a widow to sustain you, to provide for you. In other words, he appointed, he anointed this moment in Zarephath. Whew. Quit saying I'm out of God's will and just say I'm in Zarephath. I'm growing up. Come on. Quit saying God's trying to kill me and say he's making me better. Come on, I'm in the process. But he sent a servant to a widow who was in a place of testing because he was getting ready to turn her place of testing into triumph. See, it's in the test that God reveals his power and his presence to transform our problem. Oh, can you give him praise tonight for that? That in the testing places of our lives is where he reveals himself to us. And God will ordain times of testing, not to defeat you, but to reveal himself to you. Oh, God, why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to my family? Well, have you known God in a way like you've never known him before? He will use these times to reveal himself to you. Get ready. God is about to reveal himself to you. Woo! Get ready. God is about to reveal himself to you. How would you know he's a healer if you never walked through any sickness? How would you ever know he's Jehovah Jireh if you never had a financial crisis? How would you ever know him as a restorer if you've never been broken? How would you know that he is the healer of the brokenhearted if you never had a broken heart? Turn to your neighbor and say, this is a test. This is only a test. Woo, tell your other neighbor, this is a test. This is only a test. Oh, thank you, Lord. The second thing I want you to see tonight is this. God sent Elijah to help her discover what she still had left. You see, at the gate of the city, Elijah encountered the widow. And when Elijah spoke to her and asked her for some bread, she simply said, I don't have any bread, only a little flour and oil. I'm getting these sticks that I may go home and prepare my last meal for me and my son and die. It seems she wasn't complaining about her situation. She had just accepted her fate. And she had accommodated herself to it. She saw no hope for change. She had nothing left. And you see, when we experience loss, we often focus on the tangible thing that we lose. The person, the house, the job, the relationships. And these things are so much a part of us and shape how we live our lives and what we live for. And in these seasons where there is a lack of self-clarity, the enemy will try to come in and he will try to confuse our identity. Come on. He will make us doubt and begin to wonder who we really are. And there is no greater loss than to lose your identity. Come on, in this social media age, I have to tell you, there's a big difference between image and identity. Image is what you put up on Facebook that everyone else thinks you are. Identity is who you are, the way you think about yourself, what you believe about yourself. Oh, come on, somebody. There's a big difference between image and identity. And the loss and confusion of identity, I believe, is directly related to the depression and the emotional stress-related issues that we deal with today. And you see this widow, she's not only lost her husband, but she's now in a famine. It has devoured all of their crops. And she had clearly given up the fight because her life has come down to an expectation of 2 sticks. And hear me tonight. The enemy wants you to believe that you had to settle with that loss, settle with that anxiety, settle with that fear, settle in that insecurity, settle on into that depression, settle on into that struggle, just going ahead and accommodate your life to it because you're never going to be free. He's even convincing many people in the body of Christ, in the church, that they can never be free. But I'm here to say the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. 1 John 3:8 says, "For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy." That he might do what? Destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Oh, come on. My life was controlled by a spirit and a stronghold and a generational deposit of fear, but I refuse to give place to and allow something to control me that God had not given me. Because you see, my Bible says I have not given you a spirit of fear, but I have given you love, and I've given you power, and I've given you a sound mind. I felt inadequate. I felt not good enough. I lived many years under the circumstances, overcome with anxiety about anything or anything that God would call me to do. But what I was powerless to overcome, honey, the cross and the blood of Jesus took care of. Hallelujah. I'm standing here as a living witness that you are not in bondage to a stronghold of fear, anxiety, depression, or worry, but in the name of Jesus, Jesus can set you free. Woo, he came to destroy every work of the enemy set against your life. Glory to God. Man, that makes me excited. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is freedom in Christ. Do not be entangled again in a yoke of slavery. Glory to God. It's time to take back what the devil stole from you. All she saw was what was lost. And see, you cannot let your feelings define you. Come on, she was living in that place. But you cannot live and let your feelings define you. They will lie to you. Come on. Your feelings cannot be trusted because they are based on your past experiences. They're based on your history, not your destiny. But God showed up in this place of testing in her Zarephath with a word. And 2,000 years ago, the word came on the scene for you and for me. He came to proclaim liberty to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free. Somebody give Jesus a praise. We don't accommodate loss and depression and anxiety and fear. Are you kidding me? Come on. Are you kidding me, church? Woo! Hallelujah. We claim the cross. We claim the blood. That's what we claim. We claim the name that is above every name. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. He said, "My peace I give to you." Whoo! He said that your joy may be full. You abide in me. I say this to you so that your joy may be full. That's where we live. We don't accommodate this. Are you kidding me? That is a spirit. And we cast that thing out tonight in the name of Jesus. I cast fear out of this place. I bind anxiety off of you. I take authority over negativity and the lies of the enemy that he has spoken to you since your childhood. I break it off of you right now, and I lift it off of your life, and I cast it out in the name of Jesus. Jesus. And I declare the peace of God rest upon you, and the power of the Holy Spirit guide you and speak to you. And it is His voice that you hear when you leave this place. Oh, somebody give the Lord praise tonight for freedom. Somebody say, I'm free in the name of Jesus. I have power in the name of Jesus. I'm set free in the name of Jesus. I don't live in bondage because of Jesus. Yes. Woo. Glory to God. You have hope in Jesus. Given hope and a future. Come on, somebody. You see, Elijah was sent to help her discover what she still had left. He said, bring me a morsel of bread. And she said, I don't have bread. What are you talking about? Don't you see me here? Only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. Oh, honey, you may have lost some things. Whew. But God brought me here to let you know if you would have needed it, you'd still have it. Come on. If you would have needed that relationship, you'd still be in it. If you would have needed that job, you'd still have it. Come on, somebody. Woo! God is in control. Your victory is not in what you lost. It's in what you have left. It's in what you have left. She said, I have a handful of flour and a little bit of oil. But when you give God what you have left, it's all He needs for your miracle. God's just waiting on you to give Him what you got left. He's not looking for what you don't have. He's just looking for what you got left. Woo! He's looking for you to turn it over to Him. See, He has appointed and He has anointed you for this season that you're in. Tell your neighbor, this is a test. This is only a test. No, I want you to get excited about it and tell them this is a test. It's only a test. It's not here to kill you. It's actually here to strengthen you. This is a test. This is only a test. Tell your neighbor, I'm coming out of this. Woo! I'm getting ready to shake off this season. Woo! Glory to God. My Lord, the last thing I want to show you is this. There is a miracle in your faith. You see, Elijah said, go and make me a cake first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. And I like what this says. So she went away and did. So she went away and did. She wasn't trying to understand God, was she? She just went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and her household ate. Woo! Somebody say that. She and her household ate. They went home and ate some bread. Come on. This is a test. This is only a test. You're not going under. You're going over. I believe I'm here on assignment to help somebody. I'm pulling somebody up out of a pit right now. I just feel it. Woo! I'm lifting somebody right up out of the lie of the devil. He's told you to give up, that you don't have any reason to live. But the Lord brought me here to say, you're not going under, baby. You're going over. Woo! I got you. I got you. You see, in this moment, her faith was tested. And in your Zarephath, God will often require you to move beyond your comfort zone. He'll require you to do something that makes you uncomfortable. He'll make you do something that you wouldn't normally do, but if it doesn't challenge you, it's not faith. Come on. He will require you to step out on faith. Would she believe the word of the Lord and move on His word, or would she stay dwelling on the negativity that surrounded her? Would she choose the promise or would she stay with the past? Would she dare to surrender it all at the word of the Lord? And this is what the Lord is asking us tonight. Did she trust him enough to give the little she had left and step out on what he said? But watch this. Her faith trumped the facts and unlocked favor. Woo! Her faith looked around and saw the facts of her situation, but she stepped out and it unlocked favor. This is a test. This is only a test. When you're out of money, when you're out of opportunities, when you're out of ideas, when you're out of options, there is a miracle in your faith. Woo! There is a miracle in your faith. She went and did according to the word. When she stepped out, she didn't just honor the man of God in that moment. She honored God in the man. And honor is the currency of heaven. Come on. She took him at his word. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." There is something more certain than your circumstances tonight, and it is the word of the Lord. So you see, sometimes when all you have left is faith, it can appear to not be enough. Come on. It can appear to not be enough to face that giant David, or that fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or build that ark, Noah, or conceive that child, Sarah. But let me tell you, faith killed Goliath. Faith protected them in the fire. Come on. Faith sheltered from a flood. Come on. Faith caused a woman that shouldn't have a baby become the mother of us all. Come on, somebody. When she applied the word to what she had left, the word worked. You see, Jesus said, "I will lift my word above my name." God is not a man that he should lie. His word, the Bible says, will never pass away. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. You cannot separate God from his word. Don't forget how powerful the word of God is. In your Zarephath season, don't forget how powerful the word of God is. Speak the word. Believe the word. Decree the word. God is looking for a church that will step out on faith. Come on, somebody. He's looking for a church that even in your Zarephath season, you will step out on faith and believe his word. You see, I've never seen a time like this where so many believers are facing a Zarephath season. My husband and I have been talking about this lately because it seems like every time we turn around, almost everybody we know, whether they're in the ministry or just in our church or even family, are dealing with a Zarephath season. There's issues going on that seem beyond their control. And it seems to be everywhere. It seems to be every time we turn around. We've dealt with it in our own lives and in our own home. Those Zarephath seasons seem to be a part of the church right now. And I hear this loud and clear. Don't be alarmed by the sound of your Zarephath, because this is a test. This is only a test. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn, because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Hallelujah. This is the promise for those who serve the Lord. No weapon, no weapon, no weapon, no weapon. You are more than a conqueror. God is on your side. This Zarephath season is here to strengthen you. Come on, I don't believe it's a coincidence that we are seeing this happen everywhere we turn and all throughout the body of Christ. I believe that God has ordained and he has appointed this time because he is getting ready to raise up a church that will walk in faith, that will believe his word, that will know him like we've never known him, that will know his voice in these last days like we've never known him. I believe that he is pushing his people. I believe that he is pulling us to a place of closeness with him like we have never had before, because he is getting ready to use his church. Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise right now. Give God praise right now. Give God praise right now. I declare victory over you. I declare you're not being defeated, but you are overcoming in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Stand up all over this house tonight. Glory to God. Glory to God. I feel the presence of the Lord in this house. Stand on the word and watch God perform it. Stand on the word and watch it prosper. When this test is over, come on. Remember Zarephath, it meant to test and to prove true. When this test is over, you're going to find out everything that God said about you is true. You're going to find out that everything he said about your life is true. Everything he said about your calling is true. Everything he said about your son and your daughter is true. Everything he said to you about your financial situation is true. When this test is over, you're going to prove and know that everything he has spoken to you is true. For this is a test. This is only a test. Somebody give God praise in this house tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. I believe there are some people here tonight that need to just get under the overflow of some fresh oil. Who needs a fresh anointing tonight? Elijah asked the widow woman to bring him some bread. All she had was flour and oil. But in that time, when she stepped out on faith and she trusted God, what'd he say? The oil never ran dry. Maybe you're here tonight and you're dry. Maybe you feel like, I just got a little bit of oil left, Pastor Dawn, and I need some fresh oil. I need to get under the overflow. I need a refreshing. I need an outpouring. The anointing is in this house tonight. I felt it when I walked through the doors. We were back there praying. The presence of the Lord has showed up in this house tonight to touch you and to refresh you. If that's you and you say, Pastor Ron, I need a fresh anointing, I want you to rush to this front right now. I want you to come down to this front. I want you to stand here and just raise your hands and just begin to worship the Lord. I want you to enter in. I want you to pour your heart out to God. I want you to tell him what you need from him tonight. I want you to let him know how hungry you are for him. I want you to tell him what you want. I want you to tell him what you need. I want you to tell him what you desire. I want you to get hungry. I want you to get thirsty. I want you to call on his name. I want you to lift him up. Come on, somebody, press in tonight. Press in. It's time for overflow. It's time for overflow. It's time for a fresh and filling of the Holy Spirit. Come on, maybe your prayer language has been dry. Maybe you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Tonight's your night. Tonight's your night to get filled or refilled, renewed. Come on, somebody, worship him as the praise team worships tonight.
Waymaker,
just for a minute.
Stop working. You never stop. You never stop. Even when I say. worker, way maker, miracle 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 worker, way maker. Stop working, you never stop, you never stop working. Even when I can't see it, you still work. Though I don't feel it, I know. You make all things new, you make all things new.
Will you meet me here again?
threshold tonight. Woo! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise Him for a fresh touch! Praise Him for His anointing! Praise Him for overflow! Praise You, Lord! Praise You for fresh fire! Praise You! Praise You! Praise You! Oh, hallelujah! Worship pastor's going to lead us in a praise song tonight, because let me tell you something, your praise is a weapon, but your praise is also a declaration of our expectation of what's on the other side of the test. Come on, our praise is a declaration of our expectation, come on, of what is on the other side of this test. What are you expecting tonight? This is a test. This is only a test. There is an expected end. Hallelujah. So tonight I want you to put your hands together and I want you to praise God like you've never praised God before. I want you to do something that you've never done before. If you've never clapped, I want you to clap. If you've never danced, I want you to dance. If you've never spun around, I want you to spin around. But I want you to declare. Hallelujah.
You are one of victory. I will give you praise.
people to come and join me. Shout your people unto your pure truth. Praise the Lord.
Glad you came to First Wednesday tonight. Anybody glad for Pastor Don Rayleigh coming to Indiana tonight? Come on, give it up. Praise God for Pastor Don. All right.